The NFHS Women's Leadership Team welcomes Julie Cochran, Director of Sports at the NFHS, and one of the founders of the Women's Leadership Team. In this episode, we'll dive into the origin, evolution, and growth of the Women's Leadership Team, as well as ways Julie has honed her leadership style and developed the program from the ground up. All right, let's jump right into things. Julie, can you introduce yourself? Tell us about your work and who you are outside of that.
Sure, absolutely. Though I will tell you, I feel like my work is very much who I am as well. So I joined the staff with the National Federation back in 2017 as a director of sports, and that role has really, some of it is still exactly the same as the day I started, but a lot of it has changed and kind of evolved over the past 7 years. And women's leadership is just one of those things that kind of has evolved out of my original hire. Prior to the National Federation, I worked for the Illinois Elementary School Association, which at the time was the only middle school association in the nation. Now there are more of them, but I worked there for 16 years as the assistant director with an office of 9 people, and we ran interscholastic events and performing arts and fine arts events for middle school kids, grades 5 through 8 across the state of Illinois, and absolutely middle school kids running those events is one of my favorite things. Like, they are just so much fun to be around in that setting. My work at the IESA, I worked in collegiate athletics prior to that as well. So don't really come from a school-based background. My base is really in kind of event management and in the collegiate space as well as the interscholastic space. I went to school on a music scholarship. So I paid for my college education on a performing arts music scholarship. So interscholastic performing arts and sports has always kind of been woven in and out of my entire life. I played collegiate soccer. I played the bassoon. You know, it's just very much been a part of my life all through my high school and middle school experience, as well as collegiate experience. So it's just been kind of an amazing journey to get to now the Federation and being on this national level platform in the job. I would say that sports and performing arts are very much a lot of who I am. I am a person who loves music in my house all the time. I have music on and a whole house surround sound going most of the time. So, and all kinds of different genres for sure. My son's soccer career and sports career were very much a part of who I was. I coached him for quite a few years prior to deciding it was better to be his mom than his coach. And yeah, I think that the outdoors, which is obvious in the sports that I have, I literally have one sport that's an inside sport. All my other sports are outdoor sports. I love to be outdoors. I love to be around nature and in nature. It's one of my favorite things.
Prior to your work starting the Women's Leadership Team, did you often find yourself in spaces advocating for women's leadership and empowerment?
Sure. In every job I've had, I've definitely been in that space advocating for women. In my early career in collegiate athletics, I think I was more questioning, trying to find that space and where that space existed. You'll know, even in the space we're in now in the interscholastic world, it's a male-dominated world, and so you're constantly looking for your tribe of women to be around in every space.
Yeah, you mentioned trying to corner the market and find that perfect space, especially for women who administer middle and high school sports. What factored into finding that space and developing the program we have now?
So I would say that everyone, not just me, but everyone should value the idea of diverse perspectives in the workplace and in life, honestly, not just the workplace, but in life. And I noticed there was a gap in representation for women in our membership. When I was in a state association and attending the summer meeting, I was one of few, not many. And so that was something that I think pulled me when I started this job, is that I wanted to see an increased, a way to advocate for women and to empower women into these careers and leadership positions, a way to elevate the voice of talented women in our associations, was kind of the thought process that a couple of us had in mind. And I will say that our women's leadership team really expanded out of multiple conversations between Sandy Searcy and Lindsay Atkinson, who are also directors of sport at the National Federation. We were meeting in conjunction with students with disabilities and constantly having conversations about inclusion and what that space looks like. And for me, in inclusion, that includes all diverse populations. And for us, there was this constant look of how do we elevate women's voices? How do we network, provide networking opportunities and mentor opportunities for women in our state associations? How do we build that so we don't just have five women in executive director roles? How do we build it so that others look to be in those roles as they progress through their careers? I personally believe that diverse teams give you more innovative solutions or creativity about decision making. And if you only have one gender, one group at the top that is making those decisions, it's not diverse and it comes from a very limited place. And so I think you need those to be a creative environment for everyone, regardless of gender.
So first you determined what a program to support women in sports should look like. How did you transition into putting it into place and actually building the team?
Well, we just had lots of conversations amongst each other and trying to figure out how we could build this. And then absolutely we had conversations with Dr. Niehoff about our ideas and our vision and where we should go with that. And she gave us the run with it platform. Just figure out what you want to do and run with it. So a lot of this stemmed out of our discussion on Title IX. This stemmed before a couple years ago, the Title IX 50-year celebration. And so we were like, we have to do something. We can't, as a national organization, not do something. And so we kind of started talking about what we were going to do there in addition to how we were going to grow opportunities for women to network in our state associations. So that's kind of where it started and how we got about. And then the three of us just kind of started running with it and adding more people onto that team as we progressed. So now we exist a team of eight. There are four directors and four coordinators. You are one of those coordinators. And we kind of work in conjunction with each other in a collaborative sense to make sure that we are bringing those diverse perspectives to our decision making as well.
When you were forming the group, although I'm sure it's nice to have the freedom to develop the program exactly how you wanted, it's just so broad. I can imagine at times that freedom led to some challenges because sometimes you don't know what to do when you have so many options. Were there initial challenges that came along with really trying to pinpoint the mission and what you wanted to accomplish with the team and how you wanted to run the program?
That's a really good question. I don't know that I would say generally there were challenges. I think we've discovered challenges as we've progressed with different programs that we've initiated. But I don't know that there were challenges in the beginning when we were just starting out, right? Like we were just starting out to figure out how to create opportunities for women in our state associations. That was our main goal. Like, we weren't looking past the state associations in the very beginning. We just really wanted to give everybody an opportunity to network and work collaboratively and so forth. And so really, we kind of started with the summer meeting summit. That was kind of our first thing, and the mentor program. And that,
what year was that?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I apologize. 2019 maybe? Because I think I started in 17. I think our first summit was the summer meeting of 2019, and then the pandemic was 20. So our summit was virtual, but so we started the mentorship program and the summit, and I'm pretty sure it was 19 at the summer meeting. And we've seen, you attended the summer meeting summit last year. It has grown immensely in attendance. And we've added a networking social as a part of that for the summer meeting. And We call it a mentorship program, but I honestly, in my opinion, think it's more of a networking program because it's we pair everybody every year. So we're really looking to get everyone to build their network within the state associations. And mentor pairs stay mentored. We just give you another person that you are mentoring with at some point in time as well to just kind of build your network. We added quarterly webinars with state association female leaders and showcase programs that they're doing and have them speak to other state association leaders, as well as discuss things, initiatives that the NFHS is doing, as well as work-life balance, tips, tricks, discuss, you know, all kinds of events within those quarterly webinars. And we used our quarterly webinars to really get the membership involved in our 50th year of Title IX celebration. That culminated at the summer meeting, which was just an amazing event in and of itself, and a year-long celebration on social media, as well as at the culminating summer meeting event. And it involved the entire National Federation office. It wasn't just women's leadership. It was too big of a task to just be women's leadership. So we had everybody in the office working on it at some point in time.
So I'm curious, the program has grown on such a national scale to support women and people of all genders in our industry. Was that always the goal, or did that develop more organically? And now that the program has been received with open arms from so many people within the membership, are there goals to continue that growth in the future?
Was it always the goal? I think initially our goal was just trying to find a way to get the women in the state associations talking amongst each other and supporting and empowering each other. I think that was the initial goal. I think we've surpassed that goal for sure. I would like to see, this is a great question, because I would like to see at some point in time that we don't need this, that we don't have to do this, that there is equal representation across the nation, that allyship involvement, so that is 100% on par with everybody, being an ally for everybody, every gender, every race, every sex. That would be phenomenal. We're not there for sure. We're not there, but we're definitely in a better place than I think we were. I think it's important that the more, the future of women's leadership is shaped by a collaborative effort by everybody involved, not just the women's leadership team, by every individual, by every community, by every state association and every state association leader. I think bolstering that, it has to be a collaborative effort. It has to be.
How have you navigated those conversations around allyship, especially with your male coworkers?
You know, here at the Federation, I feel like our male coworkers are great allies. I don't really think I've noticed. They're really strong. They're actively collaborative. They contribute. They have been involved in every event that we have started. The Better Together Summit, they've been a part of the planning community, the Title IX celebration. They've been a part of that. As well, they're very supportive of their female counterparts at the Federation office. And so for me, I haven't really noticed a need for a push and strong allyship within our office.
I mean, do you have any advice? I'm sure you've thought about how you would need to approach that conversation at some point. Do you have any advice for women in our membership on how to approach conversations around allyship?
I think the realization that it's important to have diverse populations at your leadership table is in and of itself the biggest allyship that needs to exist, right? It just needs to be, you can't just see yourself looking around the table. There has to be diverse voices, diverse population for us all to move forward. Or else we're just kind of trending in what we all do on a daily basis. And we all should want and desire to keep moving our organizations into the future, I would think.
With all of your experience with the women's leadership team, what would you say has been your most proud moment?
Gosh. Honestly, probably the Title IX celebration at this point in time. There's so much to talk about. I mean, even right now in our women's leadership team being led by Lindsay Atkinson, we're kind of thinking, reimagining our Better Together leadership development. We're turning that into, instead of a virtual summit that we've done for a couple years, we're turning that into more of a content series. And Lindsay and Alyssa on our team are kind of really working together to develop that series and bringing it back to the group for feedback. But the Title IX celebration was just an amazing celebration of women throughout history, across the nation, because it wasn't just internally in our office and our thoughts, but 100% our state associations involved in that process as well. And then to see that kind of spill out into all of them having their 50th girls basketball state tournament, their 50th volleyball state tournament, you know, and hosting events within their own states, kind of it gave me chills, honestly. It was wonderful to see that progression and how it spilled over into our states. And the same with our leadership. Many of our states have been conducting their own leadership summits to begin with, but now more states are doing it based on some of the things that we've brought as tools and tips to them for conducting their own virtual leadership summits. Colorado started their first leadership summit this past year and had an amazing turnout, and we got to be a part of that. So it's pretty amazing.
I know it's been really interesting for me to listen to those conversations and get involved on the planning side, because I've seen some instances already where an idea in one state association has really sparked inspiration for someone in another part of the country who serves a completely different demographic of people and students. Even the smallest idea someone has can turn into a whole summit somewhere else. I mean, we've already seen it this year. I really appreciate how the Women's Leadership Group opens up such a collaborative space, and people seem so excited for others to actually really build off their ideas. Is that something that happened organically, or was there infrastructure built in to stir those conversations?
Well, we all have our jobs, right? Like, we all have our jobs that we were hired to do at the National Federation, and women's leadership is kind of extra work. It's, you know, that extra stuff that we do. And so I think for me, everything that I do within my job still revolves around some aspect of women's leadership, right? Like, I'm still wanting to find more women to lead in every aspect of my job. I'm about to leave to travel to go to the USA Track and Field Annual Convention. And there I will get to meet with their Women's Commission, and I will get to speak to officials in their youth division and sit on their rules committee. And there is a lot of men in their officials group. And we are constantly talking, the two groups, of how we can work together to kind of build and diversify those populations so that they are welcoming to women and people of color. So every aspect of my job still revolves in some way, shape, or form around women in leadership, honestly.
All right, Julie, let's get personal. I'm interested in getting your advice on some things. What do you wish you knew when you were starting out that you know now as a leader?
Whew. That's a great question. I think that I wish, I have two things. I have two thoughts to this. I think I wish I would have learned sooner in life that it's not a test and I don't have to be right at everything in order to feel really good about myself. But rather marvel in the journey. You know what I'm talking about? That discovery of not knowing and floundering and making mistakes and learning from those mistakes are every bit as meaningful as the actual moments of achievement or success in my life. I think that took me a while to learn. Like, I thought, and I'm sure it's an ongoing learning experience for me as well, but that it's okay to flounder. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to not know. And that's why it comes into part for my second thing that I wish I would be able to tell myself as a younger woman. Never underestimate the value of a strong group of women in leadership positions in your circle. It is so important to surround yourself with women. It's so important to surround yourself with good people, but specifically for women, it's so important to find a strong group of women who are that you can be a cheerleader for as much as they are a cheerleader for you as well.
And as a woman with a strong leadership style, How did you find and refine that voice within yourself?
So I had an amazing mother and father who gave me a foundation to question everything, always question everything and figure out where I fit into the world and how to make that difference. In my role now as a job, I feel like it's important to empower women and support women to lead, in whatever career they choose. Did you see the Barbie movie?
Of course.
Okay. So do you remember the speech by America Ferrera where she talks about how impossible it is to be a woman?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I cried at that scene. I will be not ashamed to admit that I cried during that scene. And I saw the movie with my son and he reached over and grabbed my hand and we had a lot of conversation about it afterwards. But we have to be extraordinary as women in our lives, in our careers, in our relationships. And it's hard. And that just touched so much for me that I've kind of internalized that speech in my brain. And even though when you've made it, you continually have to feel like you have to prove yourself and your abilities. And I think in our male-dominated field, that won't change until we have a more diverse population. And women continually supporting women and empowering women in those fields. So I've always been a drive personality. I have always been that, you know, you give me a job, I'm going to get it done kind of thing. I've always been the, I'm going to push and push and push and push and push for change kind of person. And push and push and change for other people and people coming up behind me. So that speech in that Barbie movie just hit me so much that, and I wish there was a positive spin in it. I wish I could positively spin it other than it is just hard being a woman. It is. It's hard.
I guess the positive spin is that now we're able to actually have conversations like that in the mainstream media. We have platforms to share our voice and commentary on the female experience, and that has not always been there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're having this conversation right now. I would never have had this conversation externally, maybe internally with my group, my tribe, but never externally.
Can you give examples of times when your voice was challenged? You mentioned that it hasn't always been easy. When your voice was challenged, how were you able to navigate that situation and overcome the conflict without backing down from your stance or apologizing for having an opinion?
Oh, at different stages in my life, that happened very differently. I think now when I'm challenged, I have to give myself an opportunity to reflect on why I'm being challenged. Am I being challenged because I'm a woman? Am I being challenged because it's my idea? And then kind of having that meditative thought process before I give a reaction. I'm a crier. I mentioned already that I cried during the America Ferrera speech at that movie. But like, I'll cry when I'm happy. I'll cry when I'm sad. And in my youth, I was involved in some situations that were very much, I say youth, but my younger career days. I was challenged because of my gender quite a bit. And when it would make me mad. And when I would get mad, I would cry. And I thought that was such a weakness. Such a weakness. And it really drove me mad that I couldn't not cry. But I would get so emotionally mad that it would just come out. So it's an ongoing process. I mean, I'm later in my career, much later than you. You're starting out. I'm in the middle to the end of my career. But it's an ongoing process of constantly looking at how you react. And I think I'm better at it. I'm not saying that the tears don't come sometimes now, but I try to have them for myself more in private so that I can do more of a self-evaluation as to the conversation, more so than in public, I think.
Yeah, that reminds me of one of my favorite phrases, which is, you can't control what happens. You can only control how you react to it.
Yeah, 100%. Great quote.
Thanks. I didn't make it up, but I kind of wish I did.
I know. But we can live by it, right?
To wrap up this conversation before we jump into our speed round, let's look toward the future, whatever that may look like for the women in leadership team.
I'd like to see representation across the nation for interscholastic activities. I'd like to see more females across the nation. I'd like to see allyship involvement in our mentor program, regardless of gender. We've kind of already started that conversation in our meetings, but how do we get to the point where we're creating a space for all and not just one? And again, I think it's just collaborative of all of us. This is not a women's leadership only initiative. This has to be a national federation initiative. It has to be a goal and an effort by all individuals, not just the national organization.
All right, Julie, are you ready for some speed round questions?
I don't know. Fire at me. I don't know if I am or not, but we'll try.
These are all relevant to your daily work, and we're going to get your genuine reaction because you haven't looked at any of these yet.
No.
Leadership or collaboration?
Collaboration.
Confidence or compassion?
Ooh, that's a tough one for me. I kind of float back and forth. I'll say confidence.
Empowerment at work or in personal life?
I think I have empowerment at work, so if I had a preference there, I'm going to say empowerment in my personal life.
Mentorship or self-discovery?
Oh, mentorship, always. Goes with the collaboration.
Breaking stereotypes or redefining norms?
Oh, are they not the same thing?
They kind of are. Okay, next question. Education or experience?
I love experiences, so I learn through experiences. Even though I think education is very important, I'm going to pick experience.
At this point in your life, ambition or balance?
Oh, balance. At this stage in my life, balance. 20 years ago, ambition.
Global impact or local influence?
I think I'm going to pick global impact. And I think that's largely because of our job. You know, what we do on a national level, I think that global impact, even though influence in your direct community is important, I think global is probably more important to me.
Breaking glass ceilings or creating new paths?
Gosh, I wish we could say creating new paths. I really wish we could. I wish the breaking glass ceilings wasn't still a thing, but I still think there are glass ceilings we have to break.
Speaking up or leading by example?
I think I would say leading by example, but I think more people would say about me speaking up.
Empowerment through technology or traditional means?
Oh, technology.
And then to top it all off, Coke or Pepsi?
Oh, Coke. That isn't even a question. Coke.
I agree. All right, Julie, thank you so much. This has been such an interesting conversation on the evolution of the women's leadership team and you as a leader in your field. Is there anything that you'd like to add?
No, this has been a pleasure. I will be honest with you. I was a little nervous going into this, but I really enjoyed the conversation. I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Olivia.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Have a good day.
You too.
I love that. Thank you. Are you ready for some speed round questions? So these are all based on your daily work. So hopefully we'll get your genuine reaction because you haven't had time to look at these. So pure reaction right here. All right. Leadership or collaboration? confidence or compassion? Empowerment at work or in personal life? Mentorship or self-discovery? Breaking stereotypes or redefining norms? They kind of are. Next question. Education or experience? At this point in your life, ambition or balance? Let's see. Global impact or local influence? Exactly. So I guess to wrap up this conversation before we jump to our speed round, I'm just interested in looking towards the future, whatever that may look like for women in leadership. Are there goals maybe for the program in a year from now, 5 years, 10 years? How do you see this conversation to continue to grow and evolve
speaking
and
up
eventually
or leading
become integrated in our culture as women in sports? Okay. Let's see. Empowerment through technology or through traditional means? And then just to top it all off, Coke or Pepsi? I agree with you there. All right, Julie, thank you so much. This has been such an interesting conversation on the evolution of the Women in Leadership team. Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we conclude this conversation? Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Have a good day.